Movie Mavericks.
The Movie Mavericks Podcast.
Movie Mavericks, speaking of fucking long, uncut European cocks.
The Movie Mavericks Podcast.
Now for your hosts, Jason and Trevor.
I can't wait.
Hey now, everybody. Welcome to episode 265 of the Movie Mavericks Podcast. I'm Trevor Anderson, since you over to Jason Rugard. He's got some solar babies. Oh, I'm sorry. I mean a rundown for us.
I hope they have no solar babies out there. We don't know, though. I'll find out when they're 18. Today, we're going to be talking about 50 Shades of Grey, even though we probably shouldn't be talking a whole lot
those
about
are gray
that.
Babies.
The Kingsman. Yeah, right? Don't be a crybaby. And the Trivial Trivia. I got a little Adam Sandler trivia for you tonight. And movie news. Marvel is getting Spider-Man, so you can say bye-bye to Andrew Garfield in the lead role there. Also going to talk about the potential sequels that will follow this 50 Shades of Grey phenomenon that's going to happen at the box office this weekend. And Neighbors 2 is getting a sequel. We got reviews as well. I'm going to talk about Out of the Furnace, The Timber, and Solar Babies. And Trevor's going to talk about Merry Friggin' Christmas and The Skeleton Twins. And trailers tonight are The Man from U.N.C.L.E., The Age of Adeline, and Aloha, the new Cameron Crowe film. But first, we're going to go ahead and get right into the box office prediction game, which I did so well on last week. Yes, I will blow my own horn on air. Yeah, I did. I'll have to wipe up.
Okay.
You know yeah. What? You I know see. What? You were thinking about that. You mentally were thinking about that.
Yeah.
Not a question of enough, pal. It's a zero-sum game. Somebody wins, somebody loses.
Let's play the HSX.com box office prediction game.
Oh, yeah. Let's play. Let's do this right now.
Well, quick recap on last week. Jupiter Ascending missed the mark on that.
No, it didn't. I didn't.
I was right on. Me neither, but... yeah, you did have a good weekend last weekend, didn't you?
I don't know, did I?
I don't know. What'd you do?
What was the thing?
Just me in general. Said, how was your weekend?
It was really nice. Yeah, I did not go see... I did not go see Jupiter Ascending, so that may have been
me
part
neither.
Of why it's so good, but...
And we're the tour. We're the
son of a bitch
target demo, and we neither of us saw it. So
oh hell no, I'm not gonna go out and see that.
Oh hell no.
Oh jeez, give me a break. Yeah, I won the weekend last weekend. Just want everyone to know that.
Did you in life or on the box office ice?
Oh, in so many ways, so many ways.
I won really? The weekend last week. That's so proclamatory.
The only way I can prove it is on box office ice. So. But no, I did good.
Hi. Okay, now.
I was number one. You were number three, so take that.
Mm-hmm. I did not win the weekend. Mm-hmm. I got a bronze for the weekend, apparently. Mm-hmm. Well, things are going to change this weekend. I'll turn that bronze
Anyhow, do,
into
do you
gray.
Think Jupiter Ascending, we all knew like, was going to do this bad, right? Everyone knew. Well, I mean, you and I, yeah. More than everyone else, I guess, but... is it surprising? Why is everyone so surprised by it?
It's not surprising at all. This was just they put this off from happening last year.
But everyone's saying what happened. How is it such a big dud? So, well, it's obvious, right? I mean, I don't think it's probably a very good movie. I just don't think the Wachowskis are making anything that the masses want to see, right?
Yeah, that time has passed. A taste have passed, and things have. What's strange is that when The Matrix came out against Star Wars back in 99, it was the new versus the old.
Well,
and here we are in 2014, and Ascending is here, and people are tired of their style, and they're excited for the new Star Wars. So we've just turned all, you know, into the whole – it's just things have changed.
If this was a comic book, would this have made money?
If it was a superhero, it might have. I don't know. But it looks laughable. I mean – there's lines in the trailer where Channing Tatum says, you know, I have more in common with a dog than I do with you. And his name's Kane, you know, and it's just strange. Just it looks,
and that's
I mean,
the name
it's
of
peculiar.
Your dog? Why is
it's just peculiar.
I
the whole
think
thing
it's probably
very,
very good. And it looks good. I want to
see it. Probably
is.
But you won't. Not for a while.
No, I will when it comes out on video.
3 months after it comes out on video is what I'm guessing. A good 3 months.
Well, I got to wait for the Netflix to get it.
Exactly. You got to wait that 28 days, and you wait for them to get it to you. Then you got to actually watch the fucking thing, and then you got to talk about
All
it.
All right. We're talking
about, we'll talk about this
What
in
was
August.
That? I mean, Seventh Son sucks. So it died. No, nothing there. So SpongeBob was the big winner, and kind of surprisingly, with 55 million opening weekend, which is kind of a lot.
Yeah, it's very strong, healthy. I mean, even inflation, the originals don't open.
SpongeBob had it in them anymore.
Well, February is now the fertile ground for kids' movies, apparently. I mean, this and the Legos last year. But, yeah, I didn't think SpongeBob's had it in it either. But
are we going to start seeing year-round be the fertile ground for every fucking thing?
And don't we already? I mean, there's only January and September where we
in 2016, 2017, we literally have year-long comic book movies. I mean, from beginning of year to end of year, it is comic book movies like you've never seen, so...
I thought you meant a movie's going to last a year long, because I feel like that sometimes. I mean, get so epic that they're just, blah. All right, but we got 50 Shades of Grey, which is probably going to kick off the new wave of adult-themed dramas. And that's kind of the idea here, right, is that they're going to try to be able to make these things for relatively cheap and get blockbuster returns on them. Is not the greatest film. That this is laughably bad, in fact, in some spots, and not
which could hurt it. Word of mouth, sexy, right? Early reviews, but all could hurt it throughout the weekend. We're just doing the 3-day. We should say it, friend. We're just doing the 3-day. Of course, there's President's Day, but we didn't do that. But you can.
We
say
don't
what you
abide
think
by
want.
The presidents.
I hate them personally.
Yeah, especially the ones that are dead, right? Why are we celebrating them?
No, those are the good ones.
Those ones get celebrated.
Yeah, Homeland Security, if you're listening,
they're listening.
Presidents. I love all presidents.
In fact, I'm a registered voter, sir.
Sure.
50 Shades, what's your guess for the 3-day on this literary adaption, if you want to call it a literary anything?
I'm just going to go Twilight adjusted, $80.5 million for the 3-day.
That's what Twilight did adjusted?
Yeah.
That's strong. Wow. That is strong. Okay, I'm going to go a little bit higher than that. In fact, quite a bit higher than that, and go 97 for the 3-day. I think this does all sorts of business this weekend.
If it does
word of mouth. But I think even because you're going to factor in tonight's 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock shows, I heard there's packed theaters all over town. So and people are doing the group thing. I know of on Valentine's Day many groups that are going to see this, 50-plus people that are
going to
see it.
Right, so they're going to see the movie after they do the group thing.
Oh, man. I hope I get some ready for the group thing. You know what I mean? I'm 50 Shades of fucked up.
I'm hanging out at the movie theater now. I know when 50 Shades is getting out.
Quite literally, huh?
No.
Yeah. All right. Kingsman. Let's talk about the Kingsman.
Kingsman. Does this have a chance of doing over $30 million for the 3-day?
No.
You say no. I tend to agree with you. I went higher than you, but good Lord, I don't know anymore. This could do 35.
Where are you at?
I'm at 26 for the 3-day.
I was at 27, and then I backed it down to 21, and I'm actually upset.
Why?
I didn't push it back down to 18. Because
ooh, even lower. Why do you think?
I actually want to see this movie. I think it looks good, but these quasi-Bond
don't
ever do good.
Yeah, and don't you think the trailer's a bit... elusive, jumbled, to say the least. Yeah, just I didn't know. I had to watch a couple of trailers before I had the full understanding of, oh, I get what this is.
The problem is that it's R-rated. It's got Samuel L. Jackson doing a weird lispy thing with his bad guy that they're trying to stay away from in some trailers and other trailers they play up. It's also... it looks like a XXX, like kind of, or Alex Rider, if you want. That's a reference for you. Type thing. So...
but a lot funner in many ways.
Yeah, I mean, this same thing. Kick-Ass, same thing that Kick-Ass was to the superhero genre, this looks like to the James Bond genre.
Sure.
The problem is Kick-Ass didn't translate all that well. Will this? I mean, it's still very foreign. I mean, it looks very English, let's be honest here. And this kid's not proven the
only
name
way
here is Colin Firth.
Really, Kick-Ass became something after the fact. You know, it didn't do well with the mass audience, but really has... picked up some ground, obviously enough to warrant a sequel, which did even worse. And, in all respect, was a bad movie. But Kingsman, you're right. I mean, this could technically not do so well here, but later on could actually garner some fans.
Yeah, I mean, it just reminds me of, like I said, Kick-Ass and even something like Percy Jackson, where it's almost like an English
sure,
like,
after
the foreign
fact,
movie. You know?
People caught on to it enough to where they were like, all right, we're going to do a sequel. But of course,
if this does 60 or above, I'm impressed, you know, ultimately here in the States.
Ultimately.
Yeah, so I'm going. If this doesn't break 20, though, you got to look at this as a very expensive sting, especially because they marketed this for so long. It was supposed to be out Christmas time, and they pushed it back for this weekend for counter-programming against 50. Or it's brilliant counter-programming. You know, you can drop the kids off at this, and the moms can go see 50. I'm not sure.
It's rated R.
They're right. That's another problem I had with it. I forgot. I just counted.
That was one thing I was thinking about, 50 Shades of Grey, but then you think, well, a lot of the audience, 50 Shades of Grey actually is or has grown up, you know, especially if you're considering a lot of the audience from the book is shared with the Twilight audience. Mm-hmm. So I don't think the R rating hurts 50 Shades, but Kingsman, like you said, counter-programming, but it's the same level. It's the R level counter-programming. I don't know.
Although I do want to see it, but I think it is a loose remake of If Looks Could Kill, The Kingsman, Part 2.
Maybe.
Getting story ideas out for free here. Trying to rewrite Hollywood.
Let's move on, please.
Shall we? Shall we through this way?
I can take no more. I can take any more 50 right. Shades of Grey talk, except for the talk that there's going to be two more sequels.
There are going to be two more sequels.
Already. They got numbers to tout already. If you heard the radio telling you to go see it because they've had, you know, 250 million people watch the trailer, which apparently is a good reason to go see a movie. I didn't know if you knew that. But, yeah, so there's three books. Apparently, they're good to go on the other two.
Well, that's
but they might
idea.
As well be there, right?
100 million copies in print, 250 million.
But here's the thing. They're shit. But don't you think this as well? Get these guys lined in for the contracts when they ain't worth shit. You can't get them for much cheaper, right?
Right. And these, if they might be star-making roles, or they might be the only roles they're ever known for. This might be terrible career moves. And I hear that they have no chemistry.
Well, these guys, you know, aren't big to say the least, so it can't be a horrible career move. People it would either be good or people would just forget about it, right?
Well, you know, you made the Twilight reference earlier with you're adjusted there, and this is directed by a female like the first Twilight was, and she has not been asked to come back for the sequel as of yet. So, Catherine Hardwick,
I don't think
not
that's that big of a
deal.
I mean, look at Hunger Games, look at Harry Potter, you know.
Well, the same thing with Divergent, you know,
yeah,
a lot of
sure.
people don't come back for
that's
the sequel.
Not a big deal. And that could just be a scheduling thing as well.
I mean, scheduling thing. I mean, these are like blockbuster dramas, so you clear your schedule to do
not
this.
If you're doing something. No, you can't clear your schedule, right? You
hey,
have
Ron
to
Howard in
do you work?
Did you know Ron Howard and Tom work? Hanks are doing another Da Vinci movie? Did you know this?
Yeah, didn't they already? They just did one, right? Oh, they're gonna do five Inferno more, right? I mean, that's what they're gonna do till they die. I thought. There was like a blood pact, like we do these Da Vinci movies till we die. As long as Nicolas Cage is going to be possibly making another National Treasure, we're going to keep making Da Vinci movies.
I would love to see Cage in a National Treasure movie right about now.
I'd love to see a crossover. Cage. Can we get a crossover on those?
Wow.
I'm telling you, man.
The National Da Vinci?
I could sell some tickets.
I think a Ghost Rider Da Vinci Code crossover would be much, much more intriguing.
I don't even know how that would work, but
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll work out. We'll iron out the details later.
Well, Neighbors 2 is on the move, and that is going to be coming to a cinema in 2016. They're green-lighting this for a fast turnaround, and this is good news for Zac Efron.
Everyone's back. This was something
many gigs, but this movie. I mean, this is pretty much his.
Yeah, I don't know. This is something I said I didn't understand if they could sequelize this, and they're going to. So I'm interested.
Yeah,
to
I don't know where a sequel would go.
What
with this
they
one.
Would do with this? Yeah, because it was a very one-off idea. I guess obviously maybe. I don't know because they're the same people. I mean, who did Zac Efron live with him? Maybe they adopt Zac Efron, and he lives with them now, and they have new neighbors. I can see it's, that.
What,
that works.
I don't know. I liked this movie a lot more than you did last summer, but I thought also it was not a sequelizable idea. It was just kind of a like I said, a one-off idea.
Well, especially not bringing back the original people. Like Seth Rogen, Rose Byrne, okay, yeah. I understand that. You can maybe replace the fraternity with something else moves in there. Some other neighbor comes in or something. But the fact that everyone's coming back sounds odd to me. I don't know. Now I'm really
if you put them in a neighborhood with other kids and it's a keep it up with the Joneses type thing, that could be funny. Sure. Yeah, if you got Efron there, that's not
right, because they have a kid now. The kid's gonna be old. There's lots of things they could do. I just don't know why everyone else comes back, you know? And does Zac Efron's, you know, little gay buddy come back? What's his name, the brother?
Who, Jonah Hill?
No, the Franco kid.
Who? Oh, Dave Franco.
Dave Franco.
You like Dave Franco, don't you?
Dave Franco's awesome.
I think he's funny, too. Mm-hmm. I do think he's kind of grown on me. But I didn't realize what he was doing in the first Jump Street movie, in 21 Jump Street. And then as I watched some other stuff, you realize that like I think he's funnier than James Franco.
I do, too. I think he has funnier facial expressions, for sure.
Yeah. He underplays his stuff a little bit more, which is great. The comedy stuff, at least. Another guy who will not be coming back is Andrew Garfield, and that's to the Spidey franchise.
Well, I don't understand.
It's been reacquired
this
by Marvel, right?
No, it hasn't been reacquired. Sony still has it. It's Sony's still going to make. They're going to. Yeah. Well, the deal is no money is exchanged, but Marvel can use Spider-Man in their cinematic universe now, and that can play over into Sony's apparently somehow. And then Sony's going to get help. Kevin Feige, or however you say his name, the Marvel Studio president, is going to be helping Sony steer Spider-Man. So they're still going to have their own thing. So I don't know, does that mean they're still going to make the Andrew Garfield movies, or if they're going to totally reboot on their end as well? But what we do know is that
I got a deal
the Spidey
with fucking Spider-Man.
Well, you do, because they're going to make another Marvel Spider-Man movie. And it's slated for, 2016, 2017? So they're going to reboot it. For sure. He's going to show up. They're talking maybe in the next Captain America, maybe, you know, probably like a little thing in Avengers or something. But he's going to be in their cinematic universe as well. They're going to bring him back. Which this is just kind of feels like a desperate move. Everyone's saying this is so good and this and that. And these guys got together. But really, this just sounds like Marvel Studios is in a peculiar situation in which they were acquired and doing well, but they already have situations where characters have been doled out to other studios, right? And Sony has Spider-Man, Fox obviously has Fantastic Four. And this is just, they want it back. They just want Spider-Man, you know, because it is worth, because what new do they have to bring to the table in their movies, if not, you know, Spider-Man, who's a major, major character. So they have to have him. So for free, basically, I guess the deal they cut, it doesn't necessarily, I don't think, hurt either Sony or them. Probably helps both of them, but it's not, you know, it's probably not the deal they wanted to make. They probably wanted to take it back completely.
Look, for a minute, Superman was the premier cinematic superhero. Then it became Batman.
And then Batman.
And for a very brief moment, it was Spider-Man. But that time has come and gone. I mean, as you can tell with last year's grosses of Amazing Spider-Man, which I'll say it again, you and I both love, and everyone else needs to get on the fucking train.
I don't know if that's true, though, is it? I mean,
I think they wrote
themselves
into a hole.
Can't you make
a
Spider-Man? Yeah, but that's why they went to Marvel for help. You can probably still make a Spider-Man that makes a lot of money, right?
Right, but he's not the premier superhero anymore. He's just a guy. He's just another.
That's only true because there is no such thing as a premier superhero anymore, because every fucking superhero is a premier superhero because there's 12, 13, 20, 80 million. I mean, look at the slate that's coming up. They're making a goddamn Captain Marvel movie. And then, you know, a couple months after that, Shazam's coming out. If you know anything about that, Shazam was originally called Captain Marvel. It's like, it's ridiculous, right? I mean, the amount of superheroes that are coming, that are still not yet hit the stage yet, that are slated to come out. So this is just going to get worse. So yeah, definitely you're going to tear down your big guys, right? A little bit, at least.
I am so tired of talking about superhero movies. It's unbelievable. I would.
What's going to get worse? Look at the next 5 years, man. The slate only, the movies only fill up the year even more. It's insane.
I really thought this hit like its zenith in about 1995, 1996, when we had all the fall, like the Batman, you know, things that came out in Batman's wake, whether it be the Phantom, Dick Tracy, sure. You know, which I really like, and you know, all these kind of like the Rocketeer, another one I really like, but things that like tried to follow in that footsteps that weren't as successful, that didn't spawn the franchises that were intended. And I mean, everything from Tarzan was rebooted. I mean, they tried anything they could. It didn't take. And now you have literally anybody that has a fucking cape is allowed to become a superhero. And if it's not a superhero, well, we'll just make him into a superhero. Like, you got Dracula Untold. That's basically a superhero movie. Lucy with Scarlett Johansson is basically a superhero movie. Everything is becoming a fucking superhero movie. It's obnoxious. It's getting to the point where I don't know if I'm just aging into a different demographic now, and I really am responding to dramas lately because at least it's something different. I mean, the superhero movie, there's only so much you can do with it, and they really have worked. I mean, look at the light one that we watched this year, which relatively light, which is Spider-Man that you and I both like, compared to like the really heavy-handed ones like Iron Man 3 that everybody really liked that you and I didn't, and it's like
the Iron Man 3 thing. I don't think though that translate. I don't think people like that one as much as they would.
But you know what? You and I are the only ones that I know that say we like Iron Man 2 over Iron Man 3.
Possibly, you know, but I was talking to someone the other day and I asked them what the best Batman movie it was, and they did say Batman Begins. So we're not alone, you know.
Well, that's obvious.
In our fight. That's obvious. No, it's not.
Don't be an asshole.
It's not obvious, right? I mean, and that's the point that you have to make, is that it's the majority of people who go see these things are looking for some entertainment and they don't care. So we can sit here and have these conversations. We can fight. People will hear us, want to fight with us. We all care. You know, we're about 10% of the people.
I think
90% didn't.
Eventually you're going to see Jonah Hex rebooted. I mean, it's getting ridiculous.
I like Jonah Hex crazy. A little bit.
I kind of got a soft spot for Jonah Hex.
Too. It's a piece of shit. I won't defend it, but I did.
I got a soft spot for Megan Fox. Yeah.
Oh yeah, and she was good in that.
She was fantastic in that.
So yeah, so I guess what are you gonna do? What are you gonna do? I just think it's interesting.
I'm boycotting
it's an interesting
superhero
deal.
Movies.
It we may have a situation which we have two people playing the same superhero, which I think is interesting. And I do like Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man, so I don't know. But
so do I.
Who's up for the role? Well, we have younger-ish actors. Dylan O'Brien, who's a kid from The Maze Runner. He's also the kid from Teen Wolf, that MTV series.
Right.
And then we got fucking Percy Jackson himself, so you'll love it. Logan Lerman.
I thought you were going to say Frankie Muniz. Now I'd really be on board.
I'll tell you what, yeah. Frankie Muniz would be a more interesting choice. I really, it feels like, again, the people that were up for this, I mean, they did extend or they did talk to Andrew Garfield. I doubt they would have offered him anything though. But again, we're going with fairly unknown people, right? People that they're going to be able to gouge money wise.
They're uninspired choices. What's next, Drake?
They're
Bell
controllable choices, is what they are. That's the problem, right? It's been the issue that I've seen foregoing with Marvel's new stuff is that they're real leery of having an issue where their superhero gets attached to a name, right? As they have a big problem right now with one guy who I would say, yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Iron
it's
Man.
Obvious, isn't it? You can just say that. And it's obvious who that is.
Yeah, who's the biggest star in the Marvel franchise? That's very clear. Whose movie does the best? Whose solo movie? You know, it's like he is the number one. All right, let's move on. Let's get into some reviews. Actually, I got a little bit of trivia for you. Are you ready for a?
I don't want it.
A little bit of trivia? You can put your thinking cap on.
I'm not ready, but okay.
All right. Well, hold yourself now. Hold yourself, Debbie.
Give it to me. I'll rock and cry myself to sleep later. Tell me.
Well, I caught a few minutes of Big Daddy on Comedy Central because it plays pretty much on a 24-hour fucking loop on Comedy Central over on the weekends. And I forgot, first of all, how much I like this Adam Sandler movie.
Yeah,
I really like Big Daddy. You said you're a Big Daddy fan as well.
Yeah, I'm an Adam Sandler fan. Come on.
Yeah, who isn't, right? And if you say you aren't, you're an asshole.
Everyone because, but I mean, us. The 10%, remember, you got 10%.
That 10%, I'll make you listen to his comedy tapes and, you know, go back and watch Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore and Don't Crack a Smile or really Bulletproof, which I highly recommend, which has just gone streaming on Netflix.
Streaming again, yeah.
Yeah. Check that one out if you haven't seen it. That's a really underrated Sandler flick.
Good Damon Wayans, too.
Yeah, Damon Wayans. We talked about it on last trivia show. It's a nice tie in there. You see what you do? Look what you did.
Oh, boy.
You sly devil. However... my question to you is this. You've seen this movie. I've seen this movie. Uh-huh. I didn't remember he did this in this movie. Do you remember what he did for a job in that movie? Because I remember watching it and thinking, why does Adam Sandler always have the coolest fucking jobs or like the most like just Adam Sandler-y type jobs? Do you recall what he did in that movie for work?
Because
he was a layabout and he had a law degree, but that's not what he did.
Yeah, I know. Now I'm trying to remember. The reason that he didn't have to work was he got hurt or something. Was that it? Or
he got hit by a car or something like that. He was getting some sort of payout, right? But where was he working?
Oh, God. Yeah. I don't know. Just tell me now.
He was working as a toll booth attendant.
Oh, that's right. He was.
On the bridge. Yes.
That's right.
You're welcome for that shot into your cerebral cortex. A little memory cap pop right there.
That was pretty good, though. I knew what he was doing for a living, technically. After
well, you knew,
that
yeah,
job.
Exactly.
So,
you did. You knew the rest of his course of his life after that. You adopted a kid. He became friends with this little boy named Julian. It was great. That movie's also great because it has a fine sidekick comedic performance from Jon Stewart as the roommate, the kid's real father. Yeah. You know. Jon Stewart has one of my favorite all-time lines in that movie when Sandler calls him and says, the kid's there, his kid's there. And he says, This isn't like the time you called me and told me my parents were dead, right? Great fucking line. Anyways, that's your trivial trivia for tonight, and we already gave away the answer. So stick with us. Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back with reviews for 7 movies and talk about 7 additional trailers. Whoa!
Bread. Thank you for that intro, Mr. Samuel L. Jackson. My name is Brad, and I'm the host of the Picking Brains podcast, where you will find interviews with the most unique minds of the horror genre. So go to picking-brains.com and check the podcast out. And I have to be going now because here are some zombies.
Oops, I cut it off. Oh, too bad. I only picked butts,
by the
way.
I'm here at pickingmyass.com.
I only picked butts. Did he say Samuel Jackson? I think he did. I think he rolled the two L's together.
I roll some L's in my day. You know what I mean? Arriba, arriba. So, hey, this is a good one to start off with. You saw Merry Friggin' Christmas on Valentine's Day.
I did, sure. On Valentine's Day, no. I did see.
This is
the
one with Joel McHale and Robin Williams, right?
Yeah.
How was it? I got this at the house on DVD. I never watched it.
How was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's okay. It's equivalent to a guy's version of a Hallmark Christmas movie.
In the sense that it's a little bit cruder, is that what you say? A guide's version, a little
right, watching, exactly.
Little,
but it's essentially tasteless. Low budget. Yeah, it's a little cruder. There's some cursing, some sexual stuff, but it really is just your standard made for TV. Yeah, movie. It was okay.
Is Williams
it
in this,
bad.
Or is it more of a?
He's
cameo?
In it. He's in it. It's yeah. I mean, he's not in it. No, he is. He's in it a bit. I don't know. It cuts around. There's quite a few people in it. Obviously, you've listed some, but there's also Lauren Graham, Clark Duke's in it, Oliver Platt, Candace Bergen, and so they pair people off, you know, and they cut between scenes between these people. So they do a fairly good job of using everyone to kind of add more value than they probably paid people, you know. If that makes sense.
But this
sense.
Wasn't one of those edit together after the fact jobs.
No, 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 no. It's definitely written the way that it is. It's just done in such a way. It's a very cheap way. You know, you take like Lauren Graham is Joe McHale's wife, and Candice Bergen is his mom. You take her and the mom and put them together for a couple of scenes here and there, and the kids and stuff, and then you have less of obviously Joe McHale and Robin Williams.
Everyone's in it.
No, no, no. Yeah. Everyone's in the movie. It's just written in such a way, and the basic plot is. Joe McHale is taking his kids to the dad's house for Christmas, and he forgets his little boy's birthday gift, and his kid really believes in Santa, so he wants to be sure he's got the gift there, because otherwise he's going to think Santa forgot him or doesn't exist or this and that. Mm-hmm. And he goes off to go get it, and his car breaks down, and Robin Williams has to come get him and go get the gift. And they hate each other. You know, his dad, he thinks his dad's the worst person in the world, and they don't get along. And so it's easy to figure out what happens.
So it's not terrible.
It's pretty,
but it's
very
not
straightforward
worth the watch.
I wouldn't seek it out. If you're looking, you know, a lot of people throw on Christmas movies. There's so many damn Hallmark Christmas movies and during the season, especially, you know, throw on the channel. And while you're chatting, you know, with your loved ones and your guests there, you can have these kind of crummy movies on that you can watch anytime. They're not horrible, but they're not important that you pay attention to. It's perfect for that, especially for more of a guy's version of that.
Well, since I've had this DVD sitting on the shelf here for 3 months, I think I'll wait another 9 months till it's relevant again at Christmas time.
Sure. Might be. There's special features that I watched just because they're just interviews on there. But they do have the first two are Robin Williams interviews, and I watched those just to – because it's interesting to see him, you know, having to do an interview for a movie, especially after he – killed himself, and it's weird to see, and you're thinking like, gosh, is he like, what's going through his mind right now, I wonder. But he's just so he's always on, he's so funny.
Yeah, isn't he always? He's like the sad clown always, you know what I mean, like the guy who never really showed you what he was going through because he was always trying to be the funniest one in the room. It's really sad, really sad. I saw a grizzly this week, and
a grizzly
this was
movie?
A strange Grizzly, the grizzly bear, well, thank goodness. This is not a remake of the 1976 movie, but it does share a couple of things in common with that movie, namely an 18-foot grizzly that is attacking poachers and loggers and hunters and all sorts of people that are doing bad shit in the wilderness. This is about a brother who comes back to the Alaska wilderness to reconcile with his estranged older brother. This stars James Madsen and Thomas Jane. It's actually got a great cast. Billy Bob Thornton is in this movie as kind of the John Voight role in Anaconda, if you know what I mean. Here he's a bear tracker as opposed to a snake charmer or whatever Voight was doing. But same kind of manic, weird energy that's in that. But also, Scott Glenn is just very underused in movies. And he is in this movie kind of playing the same role as he was in Backdraft, where he's the good guy, but maybe he might have some shady things going on or gotten in over his head. But decent little thriller, especially for a man versus nature movie.
So
was directed by David Hackle.
What is it more? Is it about the people or is it about the monster?
Yeah, it's kind of confused, to be honest with you, because Thomas Jane is married to Piper Perabo, and she is a photographer for an environmentalist. She's out in the woods. She's also deaf. She gets lost out there. James Marsden's back to kind of find – he's been hired to find a guy who went missing out there. He's got elements of Predator here, which I really liked. The bear – there's actually a scene that is almost shot for shot in The Predator where he jumps off a cliff away from the bear into the water, you know, and is lost. And the fact that he's searching for these guys, and they hint at supernatural or something else going on, or how the bear could be so smart. There is a Predator angle going on here. It's a Jaws Predator type mashup. Obviously, the Edge would be in there too because of the bear. But it gets a little confused story-wise if it's really about finding the wife, finding the brother, finding the friends that's missing, or going and killing the bear, or doing all of them. But it somehow pulls it off because of Hackle, who did the Saw movie, or one or two of the Saw movies, but was a production designer on a few, can set a stage and set a scene. And for a horror movie, he sells the horror elements, and he actually does a pretty good job selling the drama, and they do good job with the special effects. There are some gory moments in here. that maybe would turn your head in a horror movie or turn your stomach. But in this movie, because it was in the sense of a, like someone like getting stabbed in the ankle or a bear fucking somebody up, it was kind of interesting to watch. And it was a fun little – it's what Godzilla was lacking in a lot of ways. You know, Godzilla didn't have a moment in and there was a jump moment. For a monster movie, there wasn't a jump moment. And listen, this – I mean, I jumped once or twice because of the great sound design, which is very important for a movie like in this level. So I give it a good review.
Yeah, so on the level of straight to video, this is actually a cut above
worthwhile.
The rest. Yeah.
Yeah, this could have, with maybe a couple of trims and a little tighter storytelling, this could have played theatrically, I think. But a character here gets lost. Or, you know, Adam Beach, who was in Windtalkers, and you might recognize from another couple of movies, is in this movie for one scene, and you have to believe that there was more to that character than what's on screen. And a couple of the resolutions leave a couple plot strands dangling, to say the least. But worth a look, especially for Billy Bob Thornton's off-the-cuff line readings. And I think Thornton is hilarious. I mean, I give this guy more comedies because the way, even when he says things straight and the way he says, you know, Johnny Cadillac cracks me up. The guy just, he's doing his basically his Armageddon character, but out of his fucking mind, you know, that kind of good old country boy. Very good. Well, very good for what it is.
He has little to no future, unfortunately. This is where he's regulated at this point, you know. Cuba Gooding Jr. and him will be teaming up soon enough.
Can we get Dolph Lundgren in there and make it really good?
That would actually would be pretty good.
I know. Don't fuck with me. I know this now, right? Get Stephen Dorff in there. We're having a great time.
Next. What do
you
got next?
The Skeleton Twins, right?
I only got one more. You do the other one.
Oh, you want me to go? Okay.
You got like eight movies. I got two.
You got eight. I got one. I don't want to do it. Okay, you go first.
What are you trying to do? You go.
The other one I saw was Dragonheart 3, which has suspiciously been subtitled The Sorcerer's Curse. But then
I thought it was called that anyways.
The Serpent's Claw on Netflix, which is very strange. But this is the third, or actually the only sequel to Dragonheart, but this is technically the second sequel because the other one was a prequel. Get that in your head and figure that out. So this is the direct sequel to the first one, but it really doesn't matter because this
is
its own movie.
Is it the same dragon then?
It's Drago, but I wasn't sure if it was ever supposed to be the same dragon because it's voiced here by Ben Kingsley.
Well, they could have gotten someone to do of all the impersonations that everyone does. Couldn't find someone to do a Sean Connery?
I know. No, they got Ben Kingsley. He's doing a bad impersonation of Roger Moore, it sounds like. And this is – it's not a bad movie. I gave it 2.5 stars. It just missed the mark for me because I'm not – really in love with this type of movie, but this is a cut above your Asylum sci-fi channel stuff. Just this medieval stuff. You know, I watched Sorcerer, the Scorpion King 4 recently, and I thought that was just as fun as this. So my, that's kind of my barometer on this medieval sword and sandal stuff. Yeah. But the special effects here are still not up to par of what they were in 95 for the original. So
that first one was pretty amazing. Yeah.
It was, but I mean, even, you know, 20 years later, we can't get a direct-to-DVD sequel that has the same level. So, and they use Randy Edelman's score, which became iconic for a long time in a lot of trailers, over and over to the point where you're instructed on how to feel. You know, it's like, okay, here comes the swelling orchestral and the moment. But it's kind of batshit crazy. I mean, this is a very busy movie. A lot of things are happening. There's a comet that the dragon is brought to Earth by a comet out of the sky that lands into the ground, but doesn't create any earthquake or noise, and sprouts these eggs. Well, the bad sorcerer steals an egg. He wants to turn these dragons into weapons, and I'm sure you can guess it all from there. So this disgraced knight teams up with a dragon to bring down the sorcerer. It's not going to break any ground, but No, I didn't enjoy it as much as Grizzly, but
well, they don't necessarily have to break ground, right? But there hasn't been, I mean, dragon movies are hard. Dragon Slayer, obviously, very good. But of course, you know, from, you know, the early 80s, and then not till the mid 90s do you have Dragonheart, and I really haven't seen a dragon movie since those two that's worth a shit.
Nah, Aragorn tried, but I didn't care for that. I mean, Lord of the Rings did very good with Smaug,
It's not a dragon movie. You know?
Right. I know. Yeah. But I thought Dragonheart is probably the high point of this genre, the original. And a lot of that had to do with the music and the acting and the special effects and all that. And this movie, it's not going to insult. This isn't like the Dungeons and Dragons
one. There is the one with Christian Bale and.
Oh, you're right. I did like Reign of Fire. Thank you.
Yeah, Reign of Fire is fucking awesome. So there's three.
I forgot about that one. Then.
But there's not many, you know, to be fair. There's not many dragon movies that are really awesome.
Well, I want to talk about an awesome Christian Bale movie since you just brought up Christian Bale. And I've been talking about movies here for a second. We'll get to yours and just after this. But I just saw Out of the Furnace, which has been streaming on Netflix for quite some time. This was a little movie done by Scott Cooper, who directed Jeff Bridges to his Oscar for Crazy Heart. This stars Bale, Scott Affleck, Casey Affleck, Woody Harrelson.
There's a third one?
Yeah, you didn't know about him.
Sign me up. Where's he at? Yeah.
The missing Slater brother. You didn't know about that guy. Also William Dafoe. This is a fantastic movie. Last episode I talked about A Most Violent Year and compared that to The Godfather in its quiet simplicity. And its complexities dealing with the American business system and dream. This, on the other hand, is very reminiscent of Deer Hunter, and not only because it's set in Pennsylvania in a steel town, and he works in a mill, but because of the depressing, downbeat coldness of it all, the fact that they're dealing with a wartime trauma, all sorts of just this movie is fantastic. I can't recommend it enough. This is a total 4-star movie.
Wow.
It also turns into a bare knuckle boxing movie. Woody Harrelson is so fucking nuts in this movie that he ranks up there with the Hannibal Lecters and, you know, the really inspired tweaker madmen in movie history. I mean, Woody Harrelson's fucking insane in this movie, and it's really Casey Affleck, I almost called him Scott again, is fantastic. And I gotta give it to Bale, who I started getting sick of because of his theatrics and being a prick in real life, but he is very understated in this movie, as is Zoe Saldana in a very heartbreaking role. So I watched this movie. I only plan on watching about 10 minutes of it. I was gonna give it a shot, and I was engulfed, so I can't recommend this enough. Out of the Furnace, I think, is one of the best movies of the year it came out in. So I'm sorry it took me this long.
Which
to
was
get to
when?
It.
Last year? 2 years ago?
I think 2011. It was the year that he was up for American Hustle overshadowed this, because that was getting all the press and all the push, and they kind of just let this one slide. It's very much like Warrior. Remember that? I know you didn't like Warrior, and I think that you might like Out of the Furnace better because it's not as sentimental as Warrior was. And I don't know if that was – I forget what your problem was with Warrior, but I feel
boring.
Like that was one of them. Well, this is definitely not
boring. The scene on the beach alone sums up my problem with Warrior.
I love that fucking scene.
Oh, jeez.
I wouldn't cut
horrible,
a minute of that scene.
It's a ridiculous scene that doesn't even belong anywhere in the movie.
I love that movie. That movie make me cry right now. Don't even put it on.
Oh, sure. Especially
Skeleton
Twins,
the
last
though.
Fight, yeah.
I want to talk about Skeleton Twins because I almost went and saw this in a theater. It was playing around
really?
Here. And, because I like Hader and I like Kristen Wiig. I mean, so is it worth the shit or what's the deal?
Yeah, I really liked it. It is extremely independent feeling and pretty dark, but I liked it quite a bit. They're twins. Bill Hader plays the gay brother. Kristen Wiig is the uptight sister. And they are just extremely fucked up people. I mean, the movie opens with Bill Hader's character attempting suicide and Kristen Wiig's character thinking about committing suicide and goes from there. So it is dark to say the least, but I don't know, it has its moments. If you like independent film, it's not dead, it's alive, and The Skeleton Twins is definitely what that has kind of morphed into.
How is the acting by them? Are they
good?
That's
great. I mean, Bill Hader, especially if you think like Bill Hader has no range, watch this movie, because he plays a gay guy. Like, and it's literally... I don't know, you think like it's not, he's not too flamboyant, you know, he's not Liberace, but he is gay.
It's not Stefan on Saturday Night Live, right?
No, right, but it's a real full person, and you believe, I don't know, watching him, I think, in this movie, you really believe that he is that character, and it's nuanced, you know, it's not some over-the-top portrayal, but yeah, very good.
Is this like his Greenberg, in a sense?
Kind of. I mean, he's not really the main character, it's really both of them. But they're both very good.
Well, you know, she's good. I mean, she can play the dramatic. I've seen her in other stuff play the dramatic.
Yeah, they're both very good. They play off each other very well. It's just, You know, I have to say indie with this, really, because that's really kind of what it plays into. And if you don't like those kinds of movies, which is, you know, a tad slow, a tad dramatic, then you probably won't like this. But I'm glad they make these still.
That's what you're saying when you're saying indie. Yeah.
Right, that's what I mean. You know, it's definitely a genre at this point. Yeah, and I like this one.
Reminds me of that While We're Young, that Ben Stiller one coming up, the Noah Baumbach film.
Yeah, it's really not Noah Baumbach in any way, this movie.
No, because the trailer looked like that.
It's a bit, they list this thing as a comedy drama. There's not a lot of huge laughs in it. There's a lot of, you know, smirks and smiles and whatnot, but I don't know. It's kind of, it's a kind of a fucked up movie. It's very indie, is what I'll put it. Yeah, it was very good.
I like fucked up movies on occasion. I saw a Western called The Timber, and this
The Timber, laying some timber.
Laying some pipe right about now. Laying some timber. This is a nice piece of lumber. I don't really know why it was called timber, other than the fact that possibly it's about a house.
Timber.
No, they yell Geronimo. I couldn't understand what was going on.
They yell Geronimo?
This is set in, they do, constantly, when they're killing Indians. This is a very low-budget Western.
Is he in this movie? Is that like Hot Shots where he goes, me?
Hot Shots reference. It only took us 265 episodes to get there. We did it. We did it. We worked it in from 91. We brought it back. I do recall that, though, because I just watched Hot Shots, so I can't hate me. The Timber. Yeah, this movie was very well shot. This is directed by Anthony O'Brien, an Irishman, and starring Josh Peck, who I'm not...
With a name like O'Brien, I thought for sure he was Indian. No, yeah.
I thought he was from the McCallie clan, and...
perhaps African? I don't know. O'Brien? Crazy. He's Irish? No.
Yeah, no. Even his brother Martinez, they're good people. So... Well, worth seeing, though. This is a slow-moving Western. This is more of a character study than anything. It's about two brothers who are going to lose their house due to bank foreclosure, which maybe is the timber, because that's the timber they live inside. Oh. That's the name. Oh. And they are asked to retrieve a notorious outlaw for the bounty, which will make up for their debt and then some. And the outlaw happens to be their father, who they've never seen. So, interesting plot as the two brothers set out into the harsh.
But why is it always going to be like a family? Why is it always going to be so close? Like, it turns out to be their father.
Right.
So, like, are you selling it a little too hard at that point, don't you feel like?
Especially because they don't do anything with it. My problem with this movie was... for a long time, there's scenes that... I mean, it's beautifully shot, beautifully edited. This has a lot to do with, like, McCabe and Mrs. Miller.
Decent gunfights?
It just doesn't know what it wants. No, it's not a gunfight-type movie. This is a movie that is more interested in how things are visually composed. It's a kind of movie where there's stark shots with... I thought there's going to be a supernatural element, even, because the way that they shoot some things. Its sound design is beautiful. The score is great. The look is good. It's finally photographed. But it's just, there's a lot of time when the scenes play out and you feel like they don't really know that you're not sure what they're trying to say or what they're trying to get at, other than being offbeat. So it's an offbeat Western. And it's if you're looking for a slow burn Western, more in the vein of like The Proposition, you remember that Nick Cave film from a couple years ago with Guy Pearce? It's an Australian Western.
Sure.
It's something like that, as opposed to Your but Pale that was Rider pretty, or something like that.
I mean, that was pretty gnarly. They did have
that's a gnarly one.
Stuff this, in it, but this doesn't sound like
this.
That.
This thing, you know, there's a pack of roving cannibals out there that are eating bodies because it's a very winter.
Does that come out of left field or what? What the hell are you talking about?
They
go to Donner Pass or something. What's going on?
I'm serious. At the halfway point, they run into these guys who, you know, this group that are eating some remains to stay alive.
That's a movie I watched last time. It's called The Burning Dead.
I thought we were getting into some sort of like From Dusk Till Dawn territory, where the first half's a Western, the second half's straight up fucking zombies. But
a Western at the beginning.
It righted its way. It's only 85 minutes, so it's scant.
A lot like Young Ones. Did you like this movie? I guess we should ask.
I did like the movie because of that it was different. It wasn't what I was expecting, and it looks good. It
you
played
watch
well, and it was
Young
different.
Ones, then, which just started streaming on Netflix, a movie I reviewed not too long ago, which is a futuristic... not a cowboy movie, but a futuristic Western in many ways. It sounds a lot like this movie.
Well, this is actually set in the Old West, but yeah, it could have been set in the future too, because there really is no one around. It's a dead of winter. It's a
sure.
lot.
Well, that's like Young Ones could have been set in the Old West. It's more of a Western than, but that has a lot of cool
special
effects.
I don't like this kid, Josh Peck. I don't like this actor, this Josh Peck kid. You know what I'm talking about?
Is he the main character?
He played the younger brother. He's one of the brothers in this, but he also was the brother in Red Dawn. He was Hemsworth's younger brother. Do you remember this kid? He was kind of a smug little prick.
I don't know if I really remember that movie, yeah.
He bugs me. He's got like a weird way of speaking. It's too self-conscious. It's almost like he's going for a Gosling type thing, and it bugs. His acting is very self-conscious, so it starts to bug me. But the other cat was good, and for a no-name really cast and no budget, it was well done. And it's not like your Don Ryder, like your Christian Slater, straight to Netflix fucking shoot 'em up, or one starring Keith Urban or Toby Keith or whoever it may be for the week, you know, because there's a lot of these type, it's like subgenre onto itself. These,
you know,
really
who'd be,
B-movie,
you know, who'd
westerns.
Be really good at a western would be Steven Seagal, because he's got the quick hands, and they only go like his elbows like stay by his side, so if he draws, he'd shoot from his stomach. It'd be great. Come on.
Well, that's actually a great idea, because he's basically transitioning into like the Walker Texas Ranger fucking mold. You know what I mean? So
yeah, actually, he's
a lawman. Yeah, he's a lawman. So let's not forget.
He is. He's got the eagle eye.
He is. He's been deputized. Okay.
He teaches them.
Please. When you're in Texas, look behind you, because that's where the ranger's going
to
be.
He doesn't have to be one. He teaches them.
Let's talk about a 1980s movie. I watched a batshit crazy 1980s flick that was actually produced by Mel fucking Brooks. It was a Brooks Films production. Like that
they
meant
did.
Anything back in the day.
Yes. Well, it did. They made
the
a
fly.
Lot of movies. They made a shitload
made
of movies
fly.
That weren't comedies, that weren't, anything.
Speaking of, did you hear Mel Brooks say he was up for a Spaceball sequel?
I know. Did I'm you interested, hear that? But I don't know how he would possibly. I mean, it sounds a lot like, you know, the fabled Ghostbusters 3, which finally is something different, but it just doesn't seem like it would happen, right?
That just seems like a new story.
Is Rick Moranis
going to 1989?
What are you going to do with? Yeah, like, where's Rick Moranis at? I don't even know. Could you even track him down? I feel like he's probably gone somewhere. He's in the jungles of Costa Mesa.
72 years old. Leave that man alone. He's
gone.
He's
left this Earth. I believe he's on a mission to Mars. I don't know where he is.
Anytime Bill Murray golfs, he's just his caddy. He runs around holding his bag.
That may be true, actually.
I think it's positively true.
Yeah, that's why.
So anyway, I caught this movie called Solar Babies, which you said, what the fuck is Solar Babies? And I said, once you IMDb it and see the poster, you will recognize it. And alas, you did, because this played ad nauseum on HBO back in the day. Oh, yeah, right? This movie is basically Prayer of the Roller. I think it's a dog shit poster.
Oh,
I think this movie
I love
is,
Prayer of the Roller Boys, too.
You're right. Prayer of the Roller Boys is better than this. This is Rollerball mix of Prayer of the Roller Boys mixed with, you know, your Mad Max.
This was
Max.
Back when it was like extreme sports, but not really like rollerblading, like skateboarding, BMX.
They're roller skating.
They're roller skating in this. Okay. But these were the things that you made movies out of.
Right, because this was cutting edge.
Right.
And really, all I can say about this movie is that it's got a glowing orb that sends these kids into, like, away from their desert school and into, like, the wasteland for no fucking reason, and then to search out for water and to run from these Nazi-type police guys. But really the only thing of note in this movie is the fact that it stars Jason Patrick and Jamie Getz, whose very next film would be Lost Boys. So maybe Schumacher used this as a kind of an audition process or a testing ground to find his actors for his next movie. But this is a very forgettable 80s film. But you watch this and you go, okay, there's some good shots in this. There's decent costume design for the time, special effects. Like, there was time put into this. But it's so fucking derivative and so dumb.
It's
that
the
you
80s.
Go, why did anyone do this? Why did you spend this much time on this and not at least write something worth a shit?
Because that's how you made movies in the 80s, right? Nowadays, they can make this. If they made this, they'd make it in, you know, a couple weeks. But I don't know, back then. And I'm talking like prep work and everything. Back then, you still made real movies, even though they were pieces of shit. Yeah. They don't do that anymore.
Do you recall the Rector Hauer movie, The Blood of Our Heroes?
Yeah.
It's very much like that, but with teenagers.
Yeah.
And they rove around playing other people at this game, and it's bad, man. It is really bad. But it's one of those things that was on HBO and had kind of this weird following because it played so much on cable for so long. But if you haven't seen it, you should at least check out the poster for Solar Babies, because it might spark a memory that you have seen it, but not worth, because you probably have
seen
part of it.
Maybe not a memory you want to spark.
Exactly, yeah. Spark up something else. Let's move on. Let's talk about trailers. I think we got some good ones. Let's talk about this today.
Let's trailer addict it.
Yeah.
Trailers can be wondrous things, giving us insight into the unseen movies of the future. But when they're bad, fire photon torpedoes. Shields up, red alert. Prepare for trailer addict.
Ooh, trailer addict. All right, Captain. We got it. Six trailers? Shit.
Six trailers. Let's start with the one that I thought was the worst of the bunch, and that is the Hitman reboot. Hitman Agent 47. This is the second incarnation of this character, and once again, this looks like it is back in the Punisher War Zone, Max Payne debacle territory.
I'm going to say this. I just complained about the Western movie, but this one as well. I mean, really? Your dad created the Hitman Project? Now they're off to get you because they're going to find him through you and I have to save you. It's like, really? That's your whole fucking plot? And you just told it to me in 2 seconds? Does this sound like a good movie?
They missed the casting once again. You don't put Timmy Olyphant in the first one, and you don't put this dipshit in this one. Get a fucking actor. Spend a little money if you're going to try to create a franchise. He's no friend of mine. Get Vin Diesel in this fucking movie. He's born for this role.
I don't think he could at this point. I think this is just it's just a disaster. This whole Hitman thing altogether is just not a good idea. People aren't
interested
in it. This
thing peaked 10 years ago. This is a horrible idea. I can't believe
some
this is made,
video
honestly.
Games just don't work as movies, you know, for whatever reason. Not that this, the idea of the Hitman is
great.
Not a horrible idea for a movie, you know, but you know, sometimes shit just doesn't work out, you know. And we've seen a lot of video games not translate well into movies, and this just feels like one of them. Just give up on it.
At best, this is a guilty pleasure. And at worst, like I said,
well, I'm
going to
watch this because
zone,
there's people with guns and they
disaster.
Shoot each other. I'm going to watch it, but I might not like myself afterwards.
Kind of like masturbation. Moving on.
A lot like that.
I mean, moving on. From descending to bad to good. Let's keep going.
So you think this is the second to last worst one? Thank you. Yeah. What the fuck is this? This just to me, this is like I don't know what this is. Is she? Do they want Reese Witherspoon to be the new Sandra Bullock? Is she the new? What I? Yeah, this looks bad.
Yeah, just like you said, this looks like she's pulling off the Sandra Bullock kind of miscongeniality. I'm not, you know, I'm the ugly, the butterfly that blossoms. You know, it's just, and Sofia Vergara, she works well on the small screen. I think she is going to get very obnoxious
I
on
can't
the large screen.
Stand
you
the
don't
voice
like her as
of it.
It is.
The damn, yeah. Then she does it in the trailer, the I Love Lucy's like yell and shit, like the crying and stuff. It's like, what are you doing? Stop it.
Also, the running joke about the height and the age, not the funniest. This looks like a
which
instead of a
reminds
romance,
me
a chick
of things
romance.
In like the Heat and stuff that I've seen in other Sandra Bullock. I wouldn't be surprised if this wasn't like somehow.
This is from the director of The Proposal. Okay. So,
yeah, because it's very. It just I've seen these kind of running gags before in her movies, and they work really well. Seeing them in this trailer, it's like this is not gonna work.
And Reese Witherspoon can do a lot of stuff, but I've never thought her comedy, in any of her comedies, was very good. I mean, I thought Home Sweet Alabama was sweet, but I thought that was kind of a lucky box office hit, you know? It was good releasing and marketing, but it took advantage of
this is an action
popularity.
Comedy, which is something Sandra Bullock's been able to kind of break into, but...
this looks bad.
Yeah, I mean, what can you say? I'm lost for words about how bad this looks. I'd rather watch Hitman, really.
Are we moving on? Are we done with this one?
Sure.
All right. So
what you got next?
The next, I'd say, Man from U.N.C.L.E., unfortunately.
What was this? I don't know. I think you're in my head right now.
Oh, at least I'm not in your ass. But let's talk about this. We'll get there. A little more conversation.
I don't know which is more dangerous for me, really.
Well, I'll tell you where I'd rather be. In your head.
Okay.
Yeah, cleared that up. Now, I'll say this about the trailer. I was very, at least, intrigued that they left it in 1963 and they didn't update it for today's times. That at least
I don't like it. I don't think that shit works anymore. I'm over the whole 1963. I'm over the fucking Agent Carter-esque bullshit that I got to sit through. You know, I don't like Mad Men because it's in the past. I don't want it. I can't stand it. It's boring.
You know what the problem is? Not the action and the way this is shot. First of all, Henry Cavill looks like a walking archer. Sterling Archer.
Yes, he does. That's perfect. Oh, that's actually, yeah. If they should make Archer into it, well, there's your guy.
Yeah, I mean, without the comedic talent, that's for sure, or the wit. But the problem with this trailer, like I said, isn't the action, isn't the acting, isn't the casting, because you got Man of Steel versus Winklevoss. But what the problem really is
only one of them
is that Winklevoss. Yeah. He's a Winklevi. the thing is here is that it's written by Guy Ritchie, and let's be honest,
I don't like Guy Ritchie. No, I know you either. Like Guy Ritchie. No,
I like
you've Guy stuck up for him. Quite a lot. Okay, I used to.
But when was the last Guy Ritchie movie I liked?
I don't know. I didn't like any
Snatch.
Of them. I don't like that
Snatch.
One.
Well, who doesn't like Snatch?
Me.
I'll take Snatch all
guy.
Day or day.
This guy right here. I know.
That's why you. That's why you want me in your head.
You're taking it over my ass, which is a little bit much. I don't like where this episode's heading.
It's getting late at night here, people. Getting a little sleepy.
Yeah, I didn't like Snatch either. I couldn't understand what anyone said. I think maybe that's why I didn't like it so much. But I don't like the Sherlock Holmes movies. I don't like Guy Ritchie movies in general. I don't think they're very good.
Yeah, this is very, very displeasing to see this. Now I see why Cruise walked away from this, because this is just kind of a variation on that Mission Impossible theme, and why not just do another?
But don't
Mission
you think
Impossible
the time is it just me, or is that time period not just a little bit boring? Certain movies like The Rocketeer is fucking awesome. You know, Indiana Jones movies are fucking awesome. The Mummy, but I look at this type of movie and it's like, hey, Shire, how you doing, Shire? You want to get in my car? You know, that kind of shit. It's like, good lord, this is not good.
Well, not only that, this is English. I mean, this is not like America in 1960s. This looks like a very European thriller in the 60s, where it wants to be. This is probably the movies that Guy Ritchie grew up on, and he wants to do a throwback to all these very suave, like the Avengers. You know, now I'm not talking about Marvel Avengers. I'm talking about, the Diane Riggs one. And
we already
have
that movie.
Yeah, but it doesn't look like that kind of the same period and kind of the look and the irreverent tone. So I thought this was a very unsuccessful try. But really, the most successful thing about it is that Henry Cavill could be Sterling Archer in real life.
I think that's superbly successful. I don't know. Since you said that now, it's like, oh, shit. I know I've seen this. I don't know who he reminds me of, but that's it, man. And the other – oh – an Armie Hammer could be the dude in the wheelchair.
Well, there we go.
Come on, I'm casting Archer, the live-action movie, right now. It's perfect.
I think the chick from Trainwreck could be Pam, but we'll get to that.
Oh, shit. She could. Amy Schumer could be Pam. Oh, we got it down, man. We got it down. Aisha Taylor could just be
down. Aisha Taylor, herself. Shot of shit.
She could be herself, yeah. She could be Lana. No problems.
This turned into a total geek fest. I'm
all
sorry.
All right, let's
move on. We are fucking love. I want Meryl Streep as the mom.
Oh, shit.
Okay. I'm still moving up on the chain here from bad to worse. Well, now we're crossing over into the good part of today's show, in my opinion, at least. So let's talk. Right. I think so. Let's talk about Aloha, which I'm on the fence about a little bit here. Because
I'm confused.
This is a Cameron Crowe film.
Which
and I do
I
like
love,
Cameron Crowe.
I loved every single Cameron Crowe film, even the flawed ones. I've liked them all, so I'm ready for this. I think it looks good. I'm a tad bit confused on to what I'm. How much movie is in this?
This is the
problem, right?
Cameron
with his
Crowe
movies
movie.
In general. I know. I agree. There's a lot of movie, man. This thing's all over the place. But I'm thinking every minute. I'm like, oh, yeah, get with her. Oh no, wait, no. Yeah, get with her. No wait, who? Who's the girl? Who's he gonna get with? I have no idea. don't know what's going on.
The Cameron Crowe movies are very hard to put into a trailer. I think Almost Famous is probably the only one that fit perfectly into a trailer. You know, because they're so sprawling.
We bought a supporting cast. Works in a trailer as well.
You're right. I forgot about
that.
That's
way more simplified. That's probably the most simple one.
That's
really
the Cameron Crowe movie I always forget about. Most people forget about Singles or Say something like that. But
hell no, that's a good one. I like Cameron Crowe movies.
It's fucking. I always forget about We Bought a Zoo. Some people forget about Vanilla Sky, but no, it's Zoo for me.
Hell no.
I never remember you did that one. But hell no, Elizabeth Town. I'd like to forget, but
yeah, that one was the disaster. But that's all right. Everyone has their bad days.
Right, and Aloha looks to be at least some nice dialogue in there, you know, and with the leads and well cast, and
it looks good. I think it looks good.
It looks sprawling though, so I'd see this for sure. It looks like the kind of thing that James L. Brooks used to do very well.
It's just very Cameron Crowe, you know. And I bet, I mean, one of the things that I love about Cameron Crowe and that I just goes missing, especially nowadays, is the goddamn use of music. And you know it's going to be there, and you're just going to fall in love with it. It's going to be songs you've heard a million times, and they're just going to fit perfectly with everything that he's done. Yeah. So I can't wait to see it just for that alone.
He does the kind of movies that Alexander Payne does and gets a lot of credit for, but I feel like they come off as didactic and just kind of preachy in a lot of ways, and too on the nose. Where when Crowe does it, they just feel a little bit more organic, you know. It kind of all just feels like it springs from a good place or a creative place.
Feel good. They're very happy. I don't know. If you watch a Cameron Crowe movie, you don't. Even if it's kind of a sad movie, you never leave feeling, you know, crushed. You feel better. You feel good. They're uplifting.
Well, I mean, I would say Almost Famous. I mean, shit, you want to hug yourself when you leave that movie. That's one of the great ones there. All right. So, yeah, so this one, I think the trailer is probably not going to do it justice so much as the movie. This is not a very easily sellable idea, whatever they're doing here. So the trailer is
confused. Yeah. I don't know.
All right. Next, let's talk about The Age of Adeline, which I found kind of surprising that I enjoyed this trailer as much as I did.
This looks like the best thing since, I'm going to say, Forrest Gump, because really Benjamin Button, I felt, missed the mark. This looks, you know, like a kind of a little bit of a better Benjamin Button to me.
Yeah, Blake Lively is a woman who in 1935 gets in a car wreck, is struck by lightning, it looks like, and stops aging from that point forward. It's now almost up to date, and she falls in love with a young man whose father was a past either love or friend of hers. The trailer plays a little coy.
Played by Harrison Ford.
Yeah, who does a great job in this trailer. I liked seeing Ford come out of nowhere.
Exactly, right? When he shows up, he's like, Adeline, you're like, holy shit, that's Harrison Ford. This movie just got a million times more interesting, and it was already interesting. Yes. I was like, holy shit, where is this going?
It used to be that Harrison Ford had to show up with a gun or kicking someone's ass, and I'd say that. But now he's just showing up going, Adeline. And I'm like, God's good. he looks younger. This is great. I don't know if the Expendables got him on a little HGH or what, but the guy is de-aging all of a sudden. So, this trailer is really
looks
good.
Great.
The story looks really good. Oh,
tell me you don't fall just head over heels for Blake Lively in this role as well, just in the trailer.
Oh, I did that a long time
great.
Ago.
I'm sure you did. But regardless of that, she's just, just great.
She looks like she holds this. This might be the catapult, you know, like the one that gets her on the map of people we're talking about. Because I thought she was really good in The Town. I didn't even realize that was her. I thought she disappeared in that kind of little character role. So I looked at this trailer when you sent it to me and I thought, oh, shit. A period piece we'll be doing with this, and it just got more and more engaging as it went on. So I'm really looking forward to this Age Adeline. Check that one out. But I do think the best trailer on today's show is a movie that I didn't even know was coming out, a new Judd Apatow film, which is a little deceiving because he directed this, but he didn't write it. Who wrote it?
It was written by Amy Schumer, who's...
I don't know this comedian. You know this comedian?
Oh, she's very popular right now. She's huge. You watch a lot of Comedy Central. She's got a show on Comedy Central. Yeah, and she's very funny. I think she's great.
Yeah, this
as you
trailer,
can see, the trailer's great.
It's funny. It's a Red Band trailer.
Do you watch the Red Band one?
Radar.
Yeah, which is really good. The Green Band, I encourage you to watch both because the Green Band has a couple of other flip sides to some of the jokes that are in the Red Band. But I know the fact that John Cena's in a fucking movie again, I'm happy.
And LeBron James in the same movie. How strange is that?
Yeah, and they're both very funny.
Bill, Yeah, and Bill Hader is the love interest here. Yeah. And not how good is it to see Colin Quinn back on the screen? I mean, I forgot how much I like Colin Quinn as the father, but this looks like the kind of movie that is right up my alley. I want to see this badly. I think this the jokes in this hit after hit after hit, and the ones that don't hit, you still are. I was smiling the whole time I watched this trailer.
Well, it's funny. We had talked. I just watched Along Came Polly not too long ago, and we had spoke off air a little bit about, you know, where the romantic comedies were like that, and here's one. Falls right in your lap. Here it is. This is it. It's just like that, you know. It feels, it's modernized, sure, but yeah, it's from the girl's perspective instead of the guy's. But it's one of those romantic comedies that you just don't see very often anymore.
Yeah, I'm like I said, I thought John Cena nailed that scene that he's in.
Well, he nailed her. That's
or the trailer, at least. Well, yeah, exactly. It was just, but she's, you know, kind of a funny little actress too. I'm not aware of her show yet on Comedy Central. I've heard the name, but
she delivers. I didn't put two very and two well, together. Yeah, as far as like punchlines and like timing and comedy and stuff, she's very good.
Oh, the joke about the guy's dick had
and she's very smart. So. Yeah, she's good. She's smart. Good. Good stuff. And with John,
would you agree
with
that's
Judd
the strongest
Apatow directing? Yeah, I mean. Sure, it's a bit of a toss up between the top three really for me, because you don't know what they're gonna be like. You know, Trainwreck could really literally be a train wreck for all we know.
Right.
Aloha could be amazing. It could be a train wreck itself. And The Age of Adeline, I don't know, it could be really good. It could wind up being very boring. So they're all three great trailers, give you an idea that or hope that they're gonna be good movies, but I don't know.
What I think is interesting about the trailers that you and I agree on, the three that are good this week, is that they are dramas, a comedy and two dramas, and the other three are action and comedy, and we expect that those would be the ones that we would be behind, The Man from U.N.C.L.E., Hitman, and Hot Pursuit, and you and I are both, you know, thumbing our noses at those and saying, those look like shit, so I'm a little surprised here on this week's show. But, yeah, really... Not disappointed in The Man from U.N.C.L.E. because I had heard so much about that when Cruise was going to join.
Me as well.
I was kind of looking forward to it, you know?
When this trailer came out, people were sharing it, saying, oh, I'm so excited. It built up even more. I thought, I watched it. I thought, well, what are you so excited about? I guess I don't get it. Did you watch? I've never seen a single second of the TV show, so I have no idea what
I'm comparing this to.
I'm
not
bored in 1950.
So. Yeah.
Well, you,
have you seen Rawhide? No, why?
What do you mean? No, why? Have you seen Get Smart? I mean, come on, that's a great show.
No.
Oh, you should do yourself a favor and watch some Get Smart. Some classic, solid Mel Brooks right there.
Yeah, but The Man from U.N.C.L.E., I think, is a Mission Impossible type show that, I mean, those do not hold up well nowadays. You know, the technology is not there.
I don't know where the technology is. I just, yeah, it's definitely from another time. So, and I've never seen it.
Another
so
time, another place. Know. But we can both agree that Hitman will be the unequivocal bomb for Fox Studio. I don't care who is in the lead role. Who is Rupert Friend? Fiend? Friend?
I don't know. Friend,
who is this guy?
Where did he come from? I don't know.
I don't think I recognize him from anything, but. Who thought that that was a good casting decision? It's another deal, getting somebody cheap, right? And not shelling out the big bucks, kind of like what Marvel's doing. You get somebody on the ground level.
I mean, they got Zachary Quinto. I don't know where I'm going with that.
Let me tell you this. The Asylum is going to have Zachary Quinto rather soon, okay?
What? Oh, they're relaunching Heroes. Come on.
They got... Yeah, Heroes Reborn. They got Ventimiglia a job. or the heavyset Asian cat who hasn't worked in 10 years since the Get Smart movie.
I mean, Bruce or Lloyd? That. I don't know which one he was.
Yeah. I couldn't tell you
either.
It
was the other guy.
I don't
even know. There was another dude. It was Bruce and Lloyd,
a heavyset
right?
White guy, yeah.
Or am I thinking of
that? Actually wasn't a bad...
Else.
That was at least a clever idea, was to spin off
that was not
that was
a bad
theater.
Direct-to-DVD movie, either.
It was not at all, but I'm saying that's a little bit more clever than the doing these, like, Scorpion King 3 and 4 after the fact. I'd like to see more of those, kind of, if you're going to do a spinoff like that, do it while it's in the theater, give it to me on video and or on demand and have it kind of be set in that same world at the same time. Be a little bit more interesting. I'm going to get off my soapbox now.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm stop telling you what to do. Is this thing on?
Stop.
All right. Well, it is.
Shit you like.
I think the sun's coming up. The vampires are going away. And we are going to let you guys get off the air for the evening. Trevor's in his ninth beer. I'm in my fourth bowl. And we are about to pass out.
I'm in my.
Now you're sipping on club soda over there, aren't you?
Yeah. I'm like Sam Malone.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm drinking holy water. I'm keeping them away. So you can call me Woody, but I don't want people to insinuate things, huh?
Oh, all right.
Okay.
I don't want to go into that. Yeah.
We're limping to the finish line on tonight's episode because it is so late. This has got to be one of the latest that we've ever done the show. Usually we have these up Thursday evening, Friday morning. It might be Friday
evening.
Five till three. Yeah, that's Pacific Toast time there. So
toast time?
A
Did
late
you say toast?
One. Yeah, it's about to be toast time. It's fucking Miller time. All right, we want to thank you all for joining us on tonight's episode. This is, of course, MovieMavericks.com's podcast. You can get all of the reviews that we talked about on today's show on MovieMavericks.com. You can listen to our past podcast.
Did you say Wheeze? The Wheeze talked about?
Hey, who the Utes? Me's, you's, Utes.
Wheeze no, talked about some movies.
Liam Neeson's, that's my shit.
You can get them's podcasts on them's reviews.
You can't fuck with the Batmans, man.
On the movie Mavericks. Hey, it is movie Mavericks, though.
Dot coms. You can do anything you want there. So regardless, thank you guys for joining us this evening. Speaking for Trevor Anderson, I'm Jason Rugard. We, of course, are the movie Mavericks.coms.
Oh my, another magnificent episode has come to an end. If you're craving more, set your destination to MovieMavericks.com, Warp 9. Engage!